Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you all for coming.
This is the Personnel Committee meeting, November 13th, 2025. It's 9 o'clock. And I'm calling the meeting to order. I'm here, Linda Butler, the chair. John's here, the other committee member from the board. We've got Travis and Corey and Diane and Amelia will be here in a minute. So basically, what we're doing is on the Personnel Committee is that we're going to go forward with a search for a general manager. This has nothing to do with Amelia's position of interim general manager other than to make clear what we're looking for, what we want to do going forward, and why we want to do it. And so I have an opening statement that this is an important time in the Rancho Murrieta District. We have an opportunity to develop a general manager position that will acknowledge issues from the past and meet the needs of the district now and in the future. So my point is, this is not a one and over, so to speak. This is looking forward. And what we haven't done in the past is attempt to make a position that is going to carry us forward. And that's what we want to do. Very important position. I've written down some position preferences. I think we have those up there for a new director, new general manager, excuse me. And the first one is a willingness to make a long-term commitment to the district, 5 to 8 years. Now, obviously, people can quit before that time, even if they make a commitment. But the idea being, again, that we want to make this a position that is going to go forward with the district. Number two was someone with management experience, if possible, knowledge of or experience in a CSD agency. Number three, a willingness to acquire knowledge of the district slash community, current and historical. Number four, a willingness to work collaboratively with staff and board. Number five, a commitment to resolving issues and problems for the benefit of the community. Number six, an understanding that this position does not facilitate remote work. Number seven, someone who will understand and observe the policies of the district. So those are what I pulled out of my head and looking at history, et cetera, so that we can operate from this perspective. This is what we're looking for. It's not a job duties, job description, but it is a description of what we would like to see in the position. John, are you?
I mean, I'm pretty much in tune with what you got there. And I don't know, like in when you say preferences or whether it comes down further, but
to requirements.
Yeah.
And that may be true.
Sorry. Yeah, and
contracts and
the
job descriptions.
And I don't even know the words, but the description is more community presence or community presence or
presence.
Yeah, presence at all.
Yeah,
like go to the Kiwanis meeting or something. I don't know, but that's
exactly
when you put that into words.
Involvement in the community,
and you know, and I'm not, I don't, you know, I don't do windows and I don't do personnel. community. Interface or face of the district with the community,
right.
Or blah,
community
blah, blah, blah.
Community interface.
You know, that
right.
kind of thing is right. just, yeah, I mean, the voice of the district or interpersonal
okay.
relations or relations with community leaders or blah, blah, blah. You know,
exactly.
that kind of stuff.
So
it's very important.
It's a step beyond what you do in the building.
Yes.
And what we do to make the district run. It's a reaching out and acknowledgement that this district exists for the community, and that we can reach out in a lot of different ways that we haven't done. One of the things I know Amelia's already done this at least once, but that a general manager needs to do is reach out to the staff and their personnel. We need the general manager and to have a presence. Is that what you're kind of thinking about? Have a presence in the community and with staff and staff's personnel, the operators, the security department. They should know who the general manager is. It shouldn't be a secret. So anyway, those are the, and some of this, like John said, I think it's going to be, some of it will be included in job descriptions. Some of it will be included in job duties. And some of it will be things that we present to HR to go, who I believe is going to help us.
Can I add just one thing real quick?
Do you think we didn't want you to talk?
You can hear me.
The last time a this is just sitting on the outside. So the last time the district hired a general manager, they had a single-minded focus. Get the budgets done.
Finances.
And that was the main, from my understanding, the single-minded focus. The board should not have a single-minded focus when hiring a general manager at this time. They should be an all-around, you know, strengths in a lot of different areas, because that single-minded focus, I think, was what what kind of became a problem.
So the first test is where you come to the sink and you look down and you see two levers. One says H and the other says C. You must know the difference between those two levers.
Exactly. Exactly. And you must know it's righty-tighty, lefty-loosey. Yeah. So, that's just my two cents from an outside.
I think that's a really great way to put it.
From an outside looking in.
The recognition that we did that, A, because we had to.
Right.
But B, because we ended up not having a more well-rounded group of candidates.
Right.
So
I'd like to add something, if I may.
Sure.
I think that a huge part of being the general manager is being part of the community and bringing together all of the homeowners associations, the businesses, the golf course, everybody that, all the organizations that make Kiwanis, this community, the Boy Scouts, a community, and reaching out to them and having a good relationship with them and working with them and finding out what their goals are that coincide with our goals so that we can work on those together and have a unified idea of we're all taking care of the community together. That's the first thing. And I also would really like, I mean, if we can write the perfect contract, to have it say that the last 6 months will be a transitionary period. Thank you. Will be a transitionary period from this person leaving, whoever your general manager is, leaving the position and training the person coming in how to take over that role. Because I know that when I started as district secretary, they said, figure it out. And so, and so it would, you know, I mean, that's really helped me to be the interim general manager because I have so much knowledge. But having somebody pass the general manager knowledge down would have been greatly, greatly beneficial, and it would have helped the district not have a bump in the road.
Okay. The other part,
I don't know if you can put that in the contract, though, right?
The other thing, when I read
training,
you know, when I read the existing job description, one of the, you know, for lack of a better description, we're a water district.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've heard. Yes.
Okay. And
what?
Yeah. And when we solicit candidates for that, I think that there needs to be some focus on the experience that's preferred. Okay, you don't say you must have this or you must have that where you exclude 85% of the people that are going to apply. But, you know, it's a water district. And you should, your experience should be, your past experience should relate to not only, you know, managing a CSD, which could be a cemetery, or it should be, it should have a focus on water, sewer, and drainage. Nobody's going to get security. There's a, unless you get the other guy in California that has a security department, you don't have to worry about that. But
the other you need to have
that stated in the solicitation document, that the kind of experience that is preferred and the amount of years of experience that's preferred. So we start at the top and work down, you know.
Yep.
And maybe that's not the person we hire, but, you know, out of the starting block, that's the person that we solicit.
That's, yeah, that's one of the reason why I went through my brain and said, okay, if we, in a perfect world, what could we have? And one of the things I put down was a possible, if possible, a knowledge of or experience in a CSD agency.
Right.
And again, taking a look at what happened in the past, we were so anxious to get somebody or to hire somebody after Tom was here anymore. And I don't think that, if I can sort of, well, just say it, I don't think that in the past when people were putting together job descriptions for this position or even trying to figure out what we needed in this position from but before 2000, well, certainly before 2019, but it just hasn't, it's been one of those things where let's get somebody. And mm-hmm. let's get somebody is not an approach to hiring a general manager. It's not the approach I want this committee to take or this organization to take. So, yeah, we're going to put this stuff in there. It's going to be a part of what we give to HR to go to pull together for us.
And I think, and I don't know if I'm taking this out of sync, just
no.
tell me if that's what, where we're going. I had thought about this when I was reading this stuff, that I would like this prepared in a way that will allow HR to go to do the pre-screening of candidates.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I can, you know, relate my experience from about 155 years ago, that when I first went to CBS, I didn't see anybody who was doing the work for days.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it starts
well before that.
With the personnel screening.
Uh-huh.
And the personnel screening gets into whatever it is they want you, whether it be drug testing or blah 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 or blah blah blah. There are things that you pre-screen with, so that you don't take a candidate three or four steps down the line and then you give them a drug test and now you got a problem. Okay,
right.
So that was the first thing that hit me when I looked at this, and as you move through that process, we may want to have a discussion, and I don't want to put it in there yet, of how broad do we want to make this search?
Mm-hmm.
Because we may want to have a talk about broadening the reach. You know, it pretty much put it at CSDA and see if there are any general managers kicking around who are interested in applying for this job. Maybe we want to do something west of the Rockies, or maybe we want to.
Well, there's governmentjobs.com, which is a nationwide.
Yeah, and the other part of that, if you want to do it professionally, one of the contacts that I made in solidifying the hiring of Cecilia was using Robert Half.
Robert Half, yeah.
And I think our lack of success to this point with the local headhunters may be something we want to talk about as well. We want to shake that up and go a few other places.
I agree.
See who's
agree.
Out there.
I think that just giving it to one headhunter company narrows our candidates.
So we've jumped down to the job description.
Yeah, and that's what I was asking. I don't
good.
Know.
No, that's okay. I just want to acknowledge that. And some of a few of the bullet points that I put in there, who will do it, who's going to do this job description, and I was very happy to find in looking at the HR2Go contract that it's actually right in there. And it says, write/update legally compliant job descriptions for key positions. Includes a review of exempt and non-exempt status to ensure the positions are classified correctly based on state and federal regulations, as well as compliance with ADA. So they're going to do it, essentially.
Yeah. Yes.
So that makes me very happy because I'm not qualified to do it.
And I think then we have to ask them, okay, what it is they need from us.
Right.
Like you're going to have to get into some detail. I mean, if you're gonna put the accent of your search on someone who has run a water district, for example, knowledge of permits, knowledge of the inner workings of the State Water Resources Control Board, you may want to have a discussion in there about urban versus non-urban water district. I think it would be highly valuable to be looking for someone who your chances of finding someone who's done the conversion we're about to do would be slim, but someone that's already doing it would be valuable. I mean, someone who understands reporting requirements and the liaison between the state and the district would be of value. So. That's, you know, and I don't want to get that specific with it yet, but something that surrounds that is what I'd be looking for.
Bringing up HR2Go and the job descriptions, my understanding is that's something they're contracted to do, but I just heard the other day that we only are covered to the end of the year on that for free or included in costs.
We have a contract with them for 12 months. I want to say August is when, so it's not next month, it's August. When we started the contract, and they'll cover that. They have kind of two different options for contracts. A lower option, which is like $1,000 ish a month less. We went for the higher option, and that includes all the job descriptions. So, at least until August, and that's one of the things on their plate. They're working and focusing on policies right now. So by the end of our first year, they'll have all the job descriptions rewritten, hopefully, and they'll all be compliant, and then we'll all match each other. So they'll be worded and organized in the same way.
I've had a lot of contact with them in a couple of different areas over the last month. And I'm prepared to say this at the board meeting. I could not be more happy with the result. I mean, I've actually been engaged in a personnel-related meeting with their upper-level person, and it's about as professional as you can get. Quite
so,
honestly.
Agreed. Sort of sum that part of it up. We're in a good position because we have HR2Go to help us and actually to write the job description. Mm-hmm. What we want to do is make sure that we give them all the information that we can to put that job description together. And then one of the other things I want to make sure that we do is any kind of contract and background check, anything that we should do and haven't done or that we should do and should continue to do is something that we want to make sure that we get from them. I don't want any questions about whether or not there was a background check or whether there was, you know, we need to hear from them exactly what we need, and then we need to comply with it.
And no one would get sent over here that has not completed the front end of
it's
the
a
process.
Great,
yeah, agreed.
Great,
yeah. Oh, great. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Another thing that
and not only that, but I think that reference checks are really important.
Oh, right. I should have put that
in. And I think that the top candidates should have reference checks from us as well as HR2Go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think I would, you know, I would talk to them too. And I think before we start, we get them to collaborate with you guys and let's document the process.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, you know, because the back end of it, my vision of that is that we do, I mean, we get down to the brass tacks of one or two or three candidates, and we do some peer review where, and I think there's two ways of doing that. You can do it on the couch in the lobby, you know, right. like they do in Silicon Valley, or, go strike up a conversation with someone who doesn't know who you are and doesn't know you're actually interviewing them.
Right.
Or you can do it in a way that you bring and Cecilia together with HR to go with Kimberly, for example, and you do that roundtable peer review so that there's input from the bottom up on who we're going to hire.
I agree. And that will be a new tactic for the district. I know there have been many managers that were hired here and they didn't meet even their immediate
or we met once
that they didn't even meet their immediate people that they would be supervising every day to get an idea from them. Does this person seem like they're knowledgeable? Do they seem like, right? Because if I'm hiring a director of operations, I'm going to want the people that work in operations to give me their opinion of that person, too. I've got a really great sense of like, are you a good person, right? But I need to know from my experts in the field what they think that person's expertise is.
Well, if they get the H and the C mixed up, we have a problem.
I didn't realize that was like a barrier of entry, but now I got it.
Yeah.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to mention is that there's a difference between a job description and job duties. You get the job description, and then you break it down into the job duties. And so that's something that we will probably be submitting. Well, we'll look at the old job description, but the district, there's a lot to know about the district, and so therefore when we start talking about a job description, we have to get specific about what the job duties are. And the other part of that is how it's going to be carried out. And I did want to mention, and where is it? Personnel committee. I asked Patrick, because I've heard a lot of different things about general managers and how they fit into the scope of the board and the district. And my initial understanding or observation was that we hired a general manager, we gave him the keys to the kingdom and said, knock yourself out. And we've done that in the past. And I don't want to see that happening anymore. I think there should be a very big presence of the board in the description of what we want somebody to do. One of the things I did get from Patrick was this is the government code, because we have a government code because we're a government agency. And the government code says, the general manager shall be responsible for all of the following: the implementation of policies established by the board of directors for the operation of the district. First they have to know them, then they have to implement them. The appointment, supervision, discipline, and dismissal of the district's employees consistent with the employee relations system established by the board of directors. That doesn't mean that they just hire somebody and we live with that. I think that the general manager has to present candidates to us.
Particularly in management positions.
Particularly in management positions, right. Oh, yeah. So I was, okay, what is there one more? The supervision of the district's facilities and services and the supervision of the district's finances. My happiness with getting this is that it's general enough that we can write a job description that fits with Rancho Murrieta. Not all job descriptions that come in from one place or another would be appropriate for us. I think that Rancho Murrieta has, first of all, we have a big district in terms of the things that we take care of: water, sewer, drainage, security, the garbage. What do they call it? Solid waste. There are, to my knowledge, very few, if any, other districts in the 3,200 districts that exist in California who have that many responsibilities. Now, granted, like Long Beach, for the shipping
the port.
Port, thank you, for the port operations. They have created a district, a CSD district, and that district runs the port. So, and there's some districts that just run a cemetery. There's some districts that run the parks program. Elk Grove has libraries.
Sacramento International Airport.
Right.
Okay.
So those are districts, and we have something different from what they do. And so I think we need to be addressing and looking for somebody and making a job description that helps RMCSD do what they're supposed to do.
The other thing that you can make a note on this job description, somewhere to insert it as, and I don't know if it's essential duty or whatever it is, but there centers around the word compliance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, with applicable laws, applicable water code, and something to do with that winds up with, you know, the responsibilities of running an urban district. You know, all reporting. There is not. I mean, one of the, you know, my future life examples at CBS, where we, you know, we did everything from manufacture electric guitars to run the largest broadcast system on Earth. The mantra of the, no matter where you worked, is you protect the license. You have a license from the FCC that keeps that entire corporation in business. So number one is protect the license. And however that relates to what we do in terms of compliance with the law,
mm-hmm.
That is a primary requirement of running the district. Making sure that every action we take that that is external, if you want to call that, is compliant. So I don't know how you put it in there, but it we'll needs it. To be in there.
Well, one of the things that it says, where is it? The government code says is the supervision of the district's facilities and services, which to me would include that that task, I guess, is to know what we need in terms of licenses, permits, et cetera, for whatever we're doing, and also to be able to facilitate that, to be able to present.
Yeah, I'm not the person that's going to refine that, mm-hmm. if you want to call mm-hmm. it that, but something that relates there, and we can have a board discussion or whatever is relevant about headcount and positions. I'm not sure I give personally the carte blanche to the general manager, you know, to hire and fire at will.
Oh,
if
that's
you want
what
to call
I was.
It that.
Oh, no.
That's what I was just getting to.
And that relates out. That relates in two ways. If Travis is replacing a utility worker that's leaving or retiring or whatever, that's okay, that's
their
it's an established position. It's an established vacancy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He goes and does that,
right.
And I guess you know, however you coordinate that, you know, you bounce that off the general manager to make sure that, hey, this is my person that I want to hire. You know,
that
this
is
why, and then the GM says, well, yeah, that's okay, and away you go. If you want to increase headcount. Or if you want to establish what are currently undocumented positions okay, mm-hmm. create a new position, which creates new headcount,
right.
then I think that you may want to visit that as a something that needs some kind of board approval.
Input.
Well, that go in a perfect world, that goes to the board during the budget cycle. We added 2 utility workers during this last budget cycle, and those positions were in the budget,
right.
so the board approved that the whole, you know, as a whole in the budget. And then if for some reason throughout the course of the year we needed to add a new position like we did with the IT manager, that came to the board.
Yeah,
you know, and it went through
staff
the process.
Staff positions, I think, is what we're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, so the way you approach that is that's exactly what we want to do.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure it gets in here.
Follow
clear.
Protocol for adding positions.
Yeah, and whatever that might be. And, okay. and there will be, you know, for example, I don't know, I'm making this up, but, you know, if Cecilia along the way decides that she needs some other level of expertise or manpower to mm-hmm. do what she does, and it's, you know, the middle of November.
Yeah.
There's a procedure for that.
Which is exactly what happened in 2022 when Paula added her 2 admin people. She added the HR and she added accounts payable, and that came to the board with a whole package of other things, changes in the personnel manual, changes in the pay for performance manual. So that's how that works. That's an established procedure.
Let's back up 1 second. What I'm concerned about and focused on because of our past experiences is that we have got to have a level of trust in our staff. And trust that they are competent to hire and fire their own staff, and trust that the board of directors is going to be informed on a regular basis about what kind of situations are occurring, what kinds of things we need to be aware of. This thing about a general manager just, like I said, you give them the keys and they go for it. That is not the way to run a district. I believe that the general manager works at the pleasure of the board. We all understand that. But there's different levels of that. And I think that we have to be really aware of the fact and tuned aware and operating on a level that says, we trust you, but hey, guess what? You really are answerable to us, and we really need to know what you're doing, particularly on the staff level.
2 cents. We have basically 2 sets of employees. We have, mm-hmm. you know, exempt, non-exempt. The exempt or the non-exempt are the hourly, correct? Yeah. My opinion, the board should be advised of any hiring or firing of the people that are on the exempt list. Those are the higher
Absolutely.
Up people. The people that are on the non-exempt list should be the responsibility of the person
of
that
the
is in charge of that.
Of the department,
and
yeah.
then that department head can go to the GM, hey, I'm hiring this person.
And, absolutely.
And,
you
know. Yeah, and I don't disagree at all with that. I mean, the point I was trying to make is the difference between that and you saying, I've got 10, I need to take it to 14.
Right.
Okay.
That's a budget issue.
That's a budget
yeah.
issue.
Okay. But yeah, and you know, in a relationship of managing the day-to-day operations of the district, is he telling him once a week at his management meeting, hey, I got this guy is retiring and I'm going to replace him?
Mm-hmm.
However, internally they handle that. You know, that's just day-to-day management. They can do
right.
whatever they want. But
so,
yeah.
So just kind of to sum that section up, we all seem to have the same observation and the same preference, I guess, that when we are writing job descriptions or that we're giving HR the information, that we want to make sure that the board is in regular information is being given to the board, that the board is involved in the hiring, particularly of a staff, you know,
upper level
management. Right.
The other thing I picked up on, and when it relates to certifications.
Okay.
In other words, if we're soliciting for a general manager, and I saw this, I think it was on the EID website. This guy's got two lawyers and, you know, all kinds of stuff working for him, but there are in those public entities where they have a description of the general manager or the whoever's running it, you know, well, he's a member of this, he's done this, he's a member of that. There are preferred professional experiences and professional certifications that, when perhaps not required, but would be preferred.
Okay.
Or would count for bonus points. I don't know, however you want to put it. If the guy is, you know, taking 14 certifications at CSDA or is a member of a regional water authority that meets, you know, on a monthly basis or whatever, you know, those would be of value,
right,
to us. If he doesn't have it, doesn't mean he doesn't get hired, but, or she, but you know, I'd like to understand, well, hey, these would be really great to have so that when we go to HR to go,
yes,
it's part of the package.
More well-rounded.
Resume, John.
I know. Yeah.
Able
to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Yeah, I get it. Okay.
Yes, we are asking a lot.
Yes, no, absolutely.
But, again, what I want more than anything, and believe me, this community talks about this all the time, transparency. I want transparency from the general manager to all of us, to the board. I don't want secrets. I don't want to find out about a check that was written, you know, for whatever, after it's already done. And that's not good policy. It's not good procedure. It does not create trust. So that's, on some levels, the reason why, A, I'm happy I'm on the personnel committee, but B, why I put these position preferences out there is because I think that they're an important starting point. Okay. The hiring process. And this comes down to a couple of things. I just said, do we want to attempt to do this on our own? I think that's probably not a good plan. Or can we combine it with the use of a recruiter and certainly with HR to go? And I see HR to go as a key element in this hiring process. If we go through a recruiter, I'm going to request that it not be the recruiter we've used in the past. And
I like the idea of using Robert Half. They have a lot of resources available to them because they're in the business of hiring people.
Yeah, and they have a broader reach.
Yes.
So that would be a company that we would talk to.
Yes.
Yeah, and we do.
We already do business with them.
Half the people who work here actually belong to Robert Half.
All right. Tell me what Robert Half is in terms of title and responsibilities. What exactly?
Robert Half is an employment agency.
Okay.
And that's who has brought us, well, brought Cecilia, and also brought all our temp accountants that are working on the audits right now. And so some of the things that they do is, if we go to them and say we would like you to help us find a general manager, they're going to place a general manager ad in all of the right avenues.
Places,
so they're going to do that for us. And if I say, here's the money, put it on CSDA, they're going to put it on CSDA. Then they would grab those resumes and go through the resumes and do,
so
like,
taking on the responsibility of a recruiter.
Oh, you got it. And just kind of do that initial sort for us. And then probably at that point we could say, no, just send us your top three candidates, already have them drug screened, already have them background checked. If that's what we wanted to do, or then at that point they could send them over to HR to
to
work in conjunction, however we decide to do it.
Here's if I was looking for this person and I had those resources, I would have them conduct the broad search And, you know, they get three resumes from people who have, you know, who have worked at a CSD, you know, cleaning the building as people, you know, went home at night. We could call them. Okay. So we
I would say six people.
We go from that initial search and understand that at this point HR2Go is sitting there with this that we've created. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
And right. Then HR2Go does every bit of the front end work and we give them parameters. We've made this mistake here a couple of times. We take the only candidate that's available, or we take our second choice.
Right.
Okay. And we've done that. We've done both of those. I don't want to do those again.
Yeah.
So we're gonna have, you know, a broad reach, at least start this way, where we're gonna tell HR2Go when you get this narrowed, I'm making the number up, to five.
Yep.
Then give us, okay, what you've got. We'll decide out of the five, the three we want to interview, and then we'll start the process all over again. I'm prepared, personally, okay, if we're down to one and we're not happy, then we start all over.
I agree.
It is always better to start all over again than to settle for somebody that's not going to be a perfect fit for the organization.
Right.
Which has not been the approach in the past.
Yeah, it's always better to start all over again. And it's sure it's going to take longer, but you're going to have such better results at the end. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of recruiting.
And you know, one of the things that sticks out in my mind, again, to my 155 years ago, I mean, I got sent, before I was hired, I got sent to Terre Haute, Indiana from New York. Okay? And I was brought back and I was told, what did you see and what would you do?
Mm-hmm.
What did you like? What didn't you like?
Right.
And unfortunately, they never asked me the question of whether I really like Terre Haute, Indiana. but you know, we give a plant tour to the guy or the lady we hire. That's not what we're going to do next time.
No.
Mm-mm. I mean, you know, they will be in our water plant and then some before they ever get a job offer. It needs to be a lot more sophisticated and a lot more specific than what we've done. We've also done it when we've gathered five community members together, and I don't have any argument with that.
Okay.
But that's the end of the process.
Right.
Okay. That part of the process is on the same end that we have the collaborative peer review type interviews, you know, that I think maybe HR2Go
facilitates.
But they're going to know a lot about us before we offer anybody a job.
And the peer review and the community review gives that candidate buy-in from the community before they even start, buy-in from staff mm-hmm. before they even start. So instead of having a situation of, oh, great, they've hired another, now what are we in for?
Yeah.
You have a situation of, I've met them, they seem really great, I have a really good feeling about them, and so then now all of a sudden you've got your managers and supervisors saying, really excited to introduce this person, and we're all standing behind them, and we're all a team. So mm-hmm. it brings them into, you know, that level of the team so that it can trickle down.
I also think that by bringing them in and giving them a tour of the district, that they're going to get an idea about whether or not they really want to do this job. It looks okay on paper, but then you start walking around and you realize, oh, there's this, and I don't know anything about that. And, you know, maybe I should rethink this. Or I don't like the way they run things.
And transparency
don't come in
on
here
our
and think
part,
you're going to change the whole thing.
I'm sorry, start over.
More transparency on our part about, not about, oh, well, the finances are a bit of a mess, but saying, okay, the finances have really gone through and these are the actual things we need to do. And in addition to that, we're going to need to drill five wells and we've got a storage tank that's going in and we've got developers and really letting them understand the complexities and the challenges that the district faces so that they are committed to fixing all the problems and not just one little again, back to your narrow-minded, not just one bit of it, but everything, and realizing and being committed to the amount of heart that this position in the district takes.
There are two things that I would want to know, and you make a note so these ultimately get run into the mix with HR to go. You know, we're obviously hiring somebody that over the length of this employment, if you're saying particularly you want to relate 5 to 8 years or use that as a benchmark, okay, that involves a considerable amount of interface with developers and development itself. So, you know, I'm not interested in hiring a developer. They more or less run the district whether we hire them or not, so why should we pay them? But I want to know, you know, okay, specifically, you know, experience that you have in this area, whether it be construction or it be development or it be infrastructure development, or because understand we may or may not hire an engineer, okay, and that was the other thing I'd be interested in knowing is the experience that this candidate would bring. How much do you know about engineering?
So
I mean, or what kind of engineering infrastructure type things have you done in your career? This is the important part that I want to make sure we understand. We have never hired someone with experience as a general manager. Since Ed.
I understand that, yes, sir.
Since Ed. Ed was the only one. And Ed grew up here. I mean, Ed was not the general manager, but Ed became the general manager after being here. And after that...
Because he was an engineer when he came
here,
yes.
Ed's a civil engineer.
Okay.
And he was the district engineer.
That's how he got to be the general manager.
But beyond that, Tom, Mark Martin, Mimi... No... real, in my opinion, public experience, yes. District management experience, no. And I think we need to change that focus.
Okay.
And make sure that we're screening out people who don't have those kind of qualifications.
So I think a lot of what we've talked about would be to take these position preferences and sort of elaborate on them. What does that mean? Because most of what we've talked about comes under one of these headings.
Yeah.
It's just not very specific. And so what we would need to do would be to get a... and that would go toward the whole concept of a job description also, if we can get a little more specific about some of this and then use those specific concepts to get involved in the job description review and rewrite. Sorry, I'm losing my voice. All right, so in the hiring process, let's see if we can come up with a little plan here. We want to use a recruiter, I think. I think that would be the best way to go. Certainly, none of us...
What I like about using a recruiter is that there's... nobody in staff, because we all work here. We work together.
You just
can't
what I was going to say.
Unbiased.
Yeah.
We don't have the capability of doing it, but a recruiter does.
Yeah, and most of what you see at executive levels is you're not responding. You're very seldom are you responding to the Silicon Valley thing. You're not responding to Microsoft. Or maybe when you get so large like Microsoft or CBS, every bit of that you have internally anyway. Okay, so you can do that,
right.
But you're responding to an ad from Robert Half or a blind ad or whatever,
mm-hmm.
And you start the screening process there. We shouldn't have resumes crossing our desk, and whatever we need to do legally, what we have to post or not post. I mean, it doesn't. It all it has to really do is tell you how to apply.
So
it doesn't say send your resumes to CSD. I mean,
no, it
should.
It shouldn't.
Let's go back a second. So if we make if we're going to make the decision to use a recruiter, that would be the first step. Mm-hmm. And we would give them a list of what we want to look for, again, in that position preferences, some of the basics.
We're going to give them, we should be giving them a list of qualifications that we have discussed up front with with
HR
to go.
So do you see HR to go is not going to do the recruiting?
No.
But we need to go to HR to go first, then
first
rather
thing.
Than second. Okay.
Yeah, first thing we have to go to HR to go.
Okay.
So that I can bring a job description
right.
to the board for approval. Would you like to bring the job description back to the personnel committee in December for your final tweaks on it and then approval up to the board?
No, January.
January. Yes, December is out of the question.
Okay. And understanding, just so we make sure we're all agreeing on the process, I mean, if you're, and we're going to use the words, not recruiter, we're going to use the words executive search. And we,
okay.
we incorporate that into the plan, and that interface doesn't get to CSD until it has gone through the executive search. They have passed those resumes for screening to HR to go. HR to go has developed a list of candidates. And then we can have a discussion internally about, okay, now we got all these three or four or five resumes from HR to go, then what do we do with them when they get inside?
So we're going to give HR to go the basics that they are going to need to start bringing us candidates, right? Is that the
job description plus
job, first thing,
any,
right.
any,
job description.
Any other?
Okay. And then?
And I'll see if HR to go has a recruiting arm, but I don't think they do.
No, I don't.
Guys,
okay, go ahead.
Give me a
go
break
ahead.
Here. I'm just trying to get this set up so that we all understand what's happening. So we're going to HR to go first with our preferences, with a basic job description, with an understanding of where we are wanting to go. And then are we going to bring that back to the board at that point to make sure that we put everything in the search requirements that we want to, and then give it to the to the executive search company, which at this point is looking like Robert Half.
So,
and then they are going to bring us candidates.
This is how I think it's going to go. First of all, in January, I'll bring a job description to the personnel committee for your final adjustments, but I'll show it to you before that so that hopefully we can have a pretty polished job description that I've gotten back from HR to go. Then I will also, if you like, bring potential recruiting agencies. Would you like to see those, or would you just like me to pick?
Yeah, keep going. Go through the whole thing.
Okay, and then we bring it to the board. The board will approve the job description and the recruiting agency in January. And then we'll recruit for probably 6 weeks. Is a pretty good search time. The board will instruct me on that as well. After our executive search agency has weeded out and gotten us down to about 5 or 6 resumes, candidates, those are going to HR to go. HR to go will do a background check, and they'll do a drug test. If those pass through, I'll set up individual interviews with the board.
Back up a minute. Jim, you got something? Did you fill out a form?
Yeah.
What you guys, come on. No, I want to hear what you got to say before we go any further.
Just listening here and just making observations. And so I've got some random thoughts that I wrote down as you guys were talking about different things, because actually the search is an important part. So I'm going to just kind of, I have just some things here. It's going to be in a random order because it's more like, as you were talking, I was making notes to myself. Oh, I want to add to this. I want to add to that. So the first thing that I would say is that your notion that you would like to find somebody who comes from the water world is, I think, right on. You know, and I think that that's really important. But it's not doesn't necessarily have to be that way.
Right.
But it certainly would be a good preference. Now, so what that means then is now you're going to be looking at trying to find somebody who's going to be able to take this job. This is a small water agency, I assume. I could be wrong on that, but I don't think it's a very big one if you look across it. Somebody said 3,000 of them or something like that.
Not water agencies, Jim. There's 3,200 districts, and they all do different things.
Yeah. So, well, whatever they are in terms of, you guys know water agencies, big ones, little ones. I have the impression that this is kind of small. Then, which means that now you're looking for somebody who is either at a smaller one, which might be hard to find since there aren't that many that are smaller, or you're looking at somebody who's sitting in the number two or number three slot in a bigger one. So ideally, if you can find a manager, this is going to be a move up for them. It's going to be a career step up for them in some way. So then the question becomes, well, how do we find all those people? One of the things when back in the old days when I was doing the early days hospital administrator recruiting, one of the things that I found to be a somewhat effective thing, but again, this is something you talk to your recruiter about, is I would often, in the early days when I was doing it all myself, we eventually outsourced it, I would get a list of all of the different hospitals that were of different sizes in that within the geography that we were working within, and I would send a letter to the general manager, they were called administrators, of the hospital there, and tell them, hey, you know what, we have this hospital over here, then we're looking for an administrator for it. And and not really trying to recruit them, because you want to be careful how you write the letter, that it doesn't look like you're trying to poach them. But and we know that we want somebody with a water district background, and we know that there's a unique group of people that know each other in this world. And we were wondering, if you happen to know somebody who might have fit this bill, would you please pass this information on to them? Mm-hmm. And you put together a nice form letter like that, you send it out to 50 different water agencies, and you hope that somebody, somewhere along the line, somebody knows somebody that is, in that position that I was talking about. They're in a smaller agency, mm-hmm. or they're in the number two or number three job, but they kind of want to move up. And so this might be an opportunity that they can say, hey, Joe, you're telling me you want to do it. Here's this job in Rancheria, take a look at it. So that may be a strategy you might want to think about. I like the idea of having the staff interviews, not the whole staff, but certainly the key management staff. Mm-hmm. I think it's real important to impress on them when you do that, you are not picking your boss. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear, I wouldn't hire him because of this. That's not an appropriate feedback from a potential subordinate. What you want to hear is, this is what I think are strengths in this person. These are areas where I'm kind of wish they were stronger. But you're not being put in a position of saying, oh yeah, I don't really support that guy. I mean, that's really difficult. What if they decide to hire him?
Right.
So you got to protect yourself on that, and you need to protect the staff if you're going to get their input. So I just add that. A lot of discussion about the role of the general manager versus the board. And this gets to be a real tricky issue with people, because if you get a good executive, that person is not going to want you looking over their shoulder every single thing they do. And so one of the old things that, and I know you guys kind of have that, but I just want to share with you an old adage that was helpful, I think, for some of the different boards I worked with. That is, the board can have their nose in, but their fingers off. And that kind of gets you to your notion of transparency, that nose in, fingers out. You don't get to make the decisions for the general manager. That's what you hire them for. And but you need to have that relationship with them, that ongoing conversation and transparency that you're talking about with them. But you got to let them run this business, otherwise you're going to frustrate the hell out of them.
But the first thing you have to do before you let them run the business is make sure that you have a connection, that a communication, we set up a system.
I understand
that. We set up a job description.
I understand that, yes.
Because trust at this point for what we've had in the past is a key issue, and I really don't want to hand over the keys.
Linda, I totally don't disagree with what you're saying. I'm just saying as you go forward, you know, you need to let the general manager be the general manager.
Maybe after a few months, and we've had several.
You guys are going to have to work that out as a board.
Yeah.
I don't want to solve it.
And wait a minute. One other thing. I don't know that we want to present this position as a water district position. We are a water district, but we need to present this position as. And if they have water experience, that's great. But I'm thinking district experience. And if they've run another district, at least they have some idea about what it is to run a district. If you want my honest opinion, we need an operations supervisor, a water operations supervisor. If we put all the emphasis on a general manager who has this past or this history, I don't think we're going to get the person that we're looking for. I think that we have got to consider that, but I think that we've made that mistake in the past, but it has to be both. You can't, what we've had in the past, from what I've seen for the X number of years that I've been on this board, is that we have not had people who understood what general management is about. And what we've gotten was, and we haven't gotten either, frankly. We haven't gotten general managers, and we haven't gotten water people. And what I'm really feeling strongly about is that we don't look for one over the other, that we have got to have district experience if possible, management experience for sure, and we just went through this in the past. Manager, we didn't care. We just wanted. Amelia said it. We can't say, well, we just want somebody to do finance. We want somebody to be a general manager, and that includes supervising staff. And so, like I said, I personally feel that we are missing a position at this point. As far as water is concerned, and if we have that position and if we're going to hire for that position, then I think that would give us the balance that we need if we don't get somebody who has specific water experience.
That is possible. That, I mean, you're right. You may go through all of those things, and that may well be where you end up. But I would suggest to you that if you found a person that did all those management things you were talking about, plus they had a background running a water district, wouldn't that be actually really almost be your
ideal
candidate?
Well, that's in a perfect world.
Yeah. Well, I think, but that's what you think.
Yeah, I know.
You should be shooting.
Please let me remind the board that we are, finance is supposed to start at 10.
Okay.
So you can take all the time, but I just wanted to remind you.
Yeah, and we will
can be
in
done
a minute.
In 5 minutes.
Okay, take your time.
As soon as the rest of the crowd assembles, we'll move on to the next meeting.
Okay, I
want you to stay there for a minute because you made a really valid point. I agree with your premise that you know the board should be working in an oversight function. It sets boundaries, okay. And it's told to do so in the law that governs special districts. Where I was here long ago when Ed ran the district for 20 years, and that's what we had, because Ed ran the district. We haven't gone far enough with the general manager to where, you know, they've been here a short period of time, and they're already in trouble. For one reason or another. Mm-hmm. And that's where both sides start crossing the line. And I'm still think And I agree with the, what you say that, you know, we get somebody who has all of the qualifications and all of the skills, and oh, by the way, has spent, you know, 20 years in the water business. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. And quite honestly, that's where I want to start. I mean, I want those qualifications to be out there up front, so that, you know, so the focus between the executive recruiter and the personnel agency, I mean, you know, we start big. I mean, let's see if we can attract somebody. The other thing that I think is relevant to what we do here, and I've appreciated over the last 30 years, we're not the largest district in the world. We're 3,000 is significant. But until you make the jump into urban, and when you make the jump into urban, you're kind of simultaneously making the jump into incorporated. In other words, you're Folsom or you're Long Beach or you're, you know, LA or you're Sacramento, Sacqua. But what we do for 3,000 connections, okay, is very much more sophisticated than many municipal districts do. Okay? I mean, we're running front end, back end, and sideways of what you do in the water business. I mean, we're operating two facilities. I mean, you know, we're doing wastewater treatment here for 500, 600, 700 acre feet of water. Okay, we have a distribution system. I think all of that needs to be recognized, that, you know, you can run a water district like Folsom where you have a, you know, a 100 billion gallons of water behind a dam, and it gets pretty simple. You know, take the water out of the lake, run the water through the system, deliver the water to the people that get it, and everybody's happy. Okay, we're doing a lot more than that. So I think we start there.
I agree. And you know, I may have a bad item. I mean, I have a complete understanding of when I say water district. I've just kind of assumed that all water districts had recycling treatment plants and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But that I may be wrong on that.
Yeah,
I would say I misspoke.
No. But I understand. You know that there's. You know, I think, you know, the whole where we sit now, okay, with the dynamics of the problems, contribute significantly to the kind of person we're looking for. We don't have enough water. We have a single source of supply. It may or may not, given the weather, okay, do what we ask it to do. All of that stuff. We have development issues. We have. Monumental problems here that are accounting and personnel and administratively related. I mean, and the other thing that I heard particularly with Ms. Morris, okay, is we were hiring a manager to change the culture. Changing the culture is the board's job. That's not the general manager's job. Okay.
Good point.
Change the culture. We're going to stand back. Here's the keys.
That's what I said.
Okay, so understanding that
we're not
that
doing
I'm leaning more towards what you say. Okay, I don't want to micromanage a general manager, but there's some things to consider in the hiring process. That will hopefully allow us not to make, you know, five mistakes.
I totally agree with you, and I agree with Linda. I mean, you want to hire the person that you have trust in, and then you want to watch them to make sure that they're doing right.
Right.
I'll wrap up here because I know I'm taking more time than I intended to. Which leads me to one other thing that I wanted to say. Make sure, and this is some advanced work you can be doing now, you know, make sure that the next employment contract is very clear about termination at will and how that whole process works.
Yeah.
You know, because one of the things, you know, you're going to want to watch, and let's say, Linda, will you hire somebody 6 months down the road? Pretty obvious you got a pig in a poke here.
It is if you're doing...
It's time to let them go, and you don't want to be paying out for 3 years' salaries.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know? Don't ever want to go through that
again.
So, I mean,
just kind of, whatever, whoever does that with this, NRIDE or whatever, that employment contract should be tight. And it should be very clear. And it should be reviewed, you know, by you, mm-hmm. and critically reviewed by mm-hmm. somebody who understands employment contracts.
HR to go will help
the
us with that.
The other thing that I would just say, again, in advance, you're going to have to pin down a salary for this job. And when you work with, whether you work, you've talked about recruiters versus headhunters. There's a big price difference between the two. So, so you're going to have to decide what you're going to do here. And in either case, whether it be a headhunter or a recruiter, you need to know what you're going to pay and what's the max you're going to pay on this job. Because I'm just going to tell you, I did a lot of recruiting in my career, and I don't know, every decent candidate you get to say, oh, salary's not the most important thing. I'm really most interested in the career opportunity. We can talk about salary later and blah, blah, blah. You know, and I have had a couple of situations where I found somebody, put them in front of a board of directors of a hospital. They wanted to hire them, and then the person come back and said, "Oh, now I want $100,000 more than what you wanted to pay." So don't get yourself in that position, because that is really a problem. You know, and I've been there, done that. Be careful with that one. So make sure you know what you're going to pay. Make sure you know what you're going
to
pay.
Start at
and,
the top, then, ever.
And that recruiter is responsible for making sure that person will take the job if offered at that pay.
Yeah. You know, so, good point. Good point.
The other last thing I would say is just, again, this word of the wise, anybody who applies and you got their resume, you need to keep that information confidential. You know, if you see that information, I know how information can just fly around with boards uh-huh. and public things. That uh-huh. that person's got a job somewhere. They may not have told their employer that they're looking
right.
here. And so if this starts leaking out through Gale's, River Valley Times or something, that Joe Schmo from
Social Media
Water District is applying for the job down here, and he hasn't told their boss, you can put them in a lot of trouble.
Right,
so
right.
Those are just
and
some
I do appreciate
advice.
That.
Listen to you guys
no
talk.
Names.
You know, here's, you know, some advice. Hope
yeah.
Some of it you use, some of you throw away. So
no, thank you, Jim.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate the last recruiting company that I never knew. And I know everything. The district secretary knows everything. And I never knew the name of a single candidate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have one more thing before we quit, okay. Go ahead.
We need to make a couple of decisions, but go ahead.
Well, my first point is I don't think we're prepared to make any decisions. I've listed there are five different pieces of this.
Okay.
Okay, that we've talked about. And they involve the front end of executive recruiting. They involve our communicating with HR to go so that you have, or they have, an understanding, a global understanding of what we're trying to accomplish and what we're looking for. We get feedback back from HR to go. We have a job description that we have to finalize. I think Jim makes a good point about we run through something more sophisticated than we've done on a salary survey. And the other part that we've understood now through this last go around, okay, is the applicability of the not personal, but the contract itself and what that means legally. And what it is we can, we can't do with the contract. So there's once we have a job description and we have a contract, and I'm talking about not one tailored to a specific individual, that we get a legal opinion of what we have there so we can be consistent with what you said about monitoring the progress of the person that we hire so that we understand where everybody is when we start making critical decisions about future employment. So I don't know that this is something that gets cranked out by January. And we can bring it when it's all consistently put together,
okay,
the whole package. Then I think then we give it to the board and we get, you know, a consensus that, okay, everybody's in line with what we're about to do here, and then we can start doing it. But I'm
So you want the contract as I'm presenting everything
else? I want everything.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. If you disagree, then go ahead.
No, it's not a disagreement. There's a lot of verbiage going on here, and we need to make a couple of decisions. And I appreciate. I'm very happy that there was so much interaction and so much. But right this minute, at the end of this meeting, which we're already late on, what's the first task?
The first task is to send the resume over to HR to go simultaneously. Not the resume. I'm so sorry. The job description. I meant job description.
So the first task is to get a job description.
Simultaneously, they should already be working. I've asked them to work on the salary survey for all the executive positions. And at the same time, I'm going to be interviewing executive search companies. So I can bring it all back to the board at the same time, send the contract over to Patrick and HR to go to make sure that we're just filling in blanks with things that we're going to be checking up on them, monitoring the progress.
I'm still feeling like this is a lot of detail, and that's good. But the first step is to do the job description. The second step is, and who's going to do the job description? And I think we need to figure that out. You know, I mean, we've got information. Other people, the district has information. So we're going to have to prepare at least the bones of a job description. Okay. And then after we do that, what's the next step? We're going to go to HR to go, or we're going to go to the recruiter? We're going to go to HR to go first, and they're going to look at the job description. When we are comfortable with the job description, then we're going to go to the recruiter. Okay. Right? I'm just asking if that's what everybody understands.
Is there a personnel committee meeting in December?
Yeah.
If the personnel committee wants to have a personnel committee meeting.
Can we have the job description floated in the personnel committee to be approved in December?
No.
John told me he didn't want to look at that until January.
I want some, I'm not rushing this.
No, exactly. I agree.
And I think what you can correct me, but it's probably on the tape. Didn't this committee get direction to do the job description?
Yes, sir, and have it back to the committee in January.
All right. Well,
and I also will send you drafts before that, so I can have
something polished. So when this committee and you and collaboratively, I would be interested in even showing it around to get some input.
Great. I'll send over
when we'll do that, and then when we get it, then we'll give it to the board, and then the board gets to weigh in on the job description itself.
But very good. And I'll have already sent it to HR to go to make sure it's compliant before I give it to the board for.
I'm one vote, but I'm not rushing this.
Very
I'm
good.
Sorry.
Thank you, sir.
I'm not
me
rushing
either.
This.
Yes, ma'am.
Very me good. Either. No. Nope.
I'm.
We're taking our time.
I don't want to get to manager number 7. Okay.
So. Neither do
yes,
I.
Yes, Jim.
Just one other thing. Again, this is the thing I had. Be here uh-huh. ready. Somewhere you need to find a nice piece that is like a PR piece about.
How much time?
Yeah, I have that from the last time that we.
2 minutes. Go ahead. If you need something to do, mm-hmm. go ahead.
I have it from, and we'll update that.
The respective candidates will be more interested in reading that than they are the jobs.
Yes, sir. I understand. Yeah.
Okay.
I will. I'll make sure that
gets
updated. All right.
We got to be done.
So we've got a plan.
Yes. Will you please adjourn the meeting?
And I'm going to join you for this job description stuff.
Yeah. Let me get this all on paper.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So
thank
that,
you.
And I'll get a really strong draft to you.
Yes.
And then.
That's great.
You're going to be involved in it.
Okay.
And will you kindly adjourn the meeting, ma'am?
No. this meeting of the Personnel Committee on November 13th is adjourned at 10:15. Is that what it is?
10:18.
Thank you all. And thanks for your input. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.